Blog Talk Radio.
Returns. A lot has happened in a few weeks, since we last did the show. Me, Commissioner T here. I'll bring the fellas on in a minute. I wanted to just real quickly, we didn't do a show last week. The election was on Tuesday, and then staying up most of the night to watch the election, as many people did. It was too tired to try to do one on Wednesday, so we skipped last week before. I don't even remember what happened. But I just wanted to say one thing before I introduce the fellas. You know, a week ago we had the presidential election, and Donald Trump won. And, as a friend of mine said, half the country will be pissed off either way, right? And, depending on what side of the coin you sit on, you're either really happy about this or really upset. I can tell you I'm not thrilled, but I am determined to continue to fight for what's right in this country. I'm not going to leave the country like so many people have threatened. This is my home. This is where I was born. But I will say that I am surprised, and on one level, I'm not surprised, because this is the country we live in, a country that could reelect a racist, narcissistic, misogynistic, convicted felon, because you wanted cheaper eggs. That's what it boils down to, is, in case y'all didn't realize, government ain't got nothing to do with the price of, you know, food and groceries and stuff. I thought I'd share that with you. Ain't got nothing to do with the government. Government ain't got nothing to do with that. That's supply and demand. Go back to your high school economics class, and they can teach you that over again. But I'm determined to continue to fight for what's right in this country, and hopefully you will join me. And that's really all I have to say about that. Let me bring the fellas on. I got Dr. Train. I got K-Star. I got JB. Spire will not be joining us, but she will be listening. Spire, we hope all is well with you. We hope to catch you again very soon. Gentlemen, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Good to be back after an absence.
What's going on, fellas?
Dr. Train, you there, bro?
Where's the left?
That's true. The
doctor, minute, man. Doctor. Yes, the doctor's here.
Is the doctor in the house? I'm about to say. Shoot.
I did. Right. Sorry. I was trying to be careful with my background noise, but I'm good.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. I was trying to be fair. Does anybody want to comment on the election? I said my brief statement. Does any of you guys want to say anything? I want to be fair and give you all opportunity to speak on it if you wish to.
No, but you said summed it up quite well, to be honest with you. That's it. It's in a nutshell.
At the end of the day, the country spoke. Things that I care about, some people have care about other things that I don't care about. So,
yeah,
that just kind of sums it up. But I'm like you, T. I mean, either way, this is where I live. I'm not going to another country no time soon, even though we and the wife have talked about it, but for different reasons. U.S. just started, they're going to start to charge you for the air you breathe at some point.
Yeah. Don't say it too loud. I hear a nickel change or something coming. Don't say it too loud.
But it is what it is. I have to tell my wife, don't get so worked up. And this too shall pass. We just hope that this whole, you know, bipartisan approach, sometimes they talk about, hopefully that's part of finding a solution that the country needs. And yeah, hopefully it's not a 4 years of division of what we had to deal with before, but who knows?
Okay.
I'll say this: it's never as bad as anyone thinks it's going to be. Whoever's elected, it's never as good as anyone hopes it is when their person's elected. So,
I don't know. I got to tell you, that second term under Obama was pretty good. I got to tell you, he
I was younger. I voted for both. I remember the first, maybe I was too young to realize it. I thought the first time was a little better, but maybe things did get better second term. I was a little younger.
Yeah, nah, he inherited a mess the first term. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the housing. Yeah, I remember that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I just want to remind people, like, yo, it's not everyone voted for Trump because of Donald Trump. A lot of people voted because they didn't like how the things have been run. So it's not always, and I voted different ways before in the past where I didn't vote for necessarily the candidate because the candidate was great. It was more or less like, all right, we just need to change things in a different direction. So just remember that when people voted a certain way, it's not always because someone wanted to vote for him or against or whoever, for Kamala or whatever. Sometimes it's just because, you know, it's like more repudiation of whatever party you're in.
Honestly, you're absolutely kind of on point with that, because when things aren't going, for the most part, I almost liken it to us being on this show, right? We watch a ton of football, different football analysts, whatever, ESPN, NFL Network, all those, right? But, you know, we ourselves have our own mind when we come to the show. We don't always just believe what gets said on TV. We try to dig a little deeper, especially when it comes to our own team. However, the general public does not.
No.
Whatever is said on TV, they believe. So when someone paints it as bleak, they're going to vote for change. And that's pretty much what the election was won on. Change.
Yeah.
I just want to change it from wherever it is now. It feels so bad now, I just want to change. That's how it goes. So in one sense, yes, Kesar, you are right. I even try to tell my wife in the sense, like, you can't get mad at everybody that votes Republican. Not all of them really just back Trump. That's just how they vote, right? There are certain things that Republicans do that people are going to continue to vote for. They're not going to change. Not everyone is a quote-unquote Trump support. So I understand where you're coming from when you put it in the picture.
Yeah, I think the other thing is there's still a segment of the population that will never vote for a woman, no matter how qualified, how good she is.
Yeah.
They will never vote for a woman. And then throw in that she's a woman of color, and you might as well just, you might as well just forget it. And so Kamala was fighting an uphill battle from the get-go. And I thought she ran a fantastic campaign. I really did. I think all the people that are questioning, you know, well, she should have separated more from Biden. Well, she had, you know, 3.5 months. You know, how much do you separate from the guy that's been your boss for 3.5 years? You know, how much do you separate?
Not much. It's hard to do.
And then you don't know how people would have taken that. You know, how do people, you know.
Right.
So I have several friends, and I think I can call them friends, that voted for Trump. And I've talked to anyone since the election, but I talked to many of them during the campaign. And, you know, we had colorful conversations about it. But these are people that I consider to be relatively intelligent. Okay, they're not at the top of the class, but they're certainly not at the bottom of the class. You know, we used to have a joke back in the day about the little school bus. Remember the little mini bus that would pick up the, you know, the slower kids? I hope I'm not offending anybody, but that was a joke when I was in school. I don't even know if that's even relevant today. But that was a joke when I was in school. You know, you had to ride short bus to school. And I don't think any of my friends...
Man, they're going to cancel our show, T. You better stop. They're over sensitive these days, man.
Hey, man, we got First Amendment rights here. We could say that.
Okay.
But, and I'm going back, you know, 40, 50 years. So, I mean, I'm going back to when I was a kid. So. But I'm saying is I don't know that any of my friends, I consider them to be relatively smart, you know? And, man, they had their beliefs. They had their reasons, you know? And no matter how I tried to, you know, counter their beliefs with facts, nothing would sway them, you know, nothing would sway them. And then, you know, I had to get questioned on prove it, you know, well, you're saying this. And I'm like, well, this is the knowledge. Google it. I got to prove everything to you. Like, I'm telling you how it is, you know, the economy is a mess. No, it's not. Inflation is the worst it's ever been. No, it isn't. You know, mortgage rates are the highest they've ever been. No, they're not. You know, and the Fed, the mortgage rates are controlled by the secondary mortgage market, and they're not controlled by the government. You know, and I'm like, I spent 20 years in that business. I'm trying to tell you how it works, but you're trying to tie it to the government. Government doesn't control mortgage rates. The secondary market does. You know, and it's like, no, you know, they try to tell me what I don't understand. I'm like, you know how much money I made in that business? I know what I'm talking about, you know? So it was very frustrating to have those conversations with people that I respect and that I liked and that I said, you know, I would consider them a friend, but they were just stuck. And the last thing I'll say is I was really stunned at how badly she lost. I you know, I'm not as surprised that she lost. But man, you know, she didn't win none of the battleground states, and you know, all of the states that Biden won, she lost ground in every one of them. I mean, I don't know if y'all watch MSNBC, but Steve Kornacki is as good as you're ever gonna find at breaking down the Electoral College votes and, you know, really the popular vote. And all that dude is incredible. I mean, they better not ever lose him because he's worth every penny they paying him and then some. He breaks it down so you understand what he's talking about, you know. And he was breaking that down, man. I was all up into that TV. I'm like, oh, man, she ain't doing good at all. But, you know, we're gonna carry on. So, hey, let's get on to some football now because you know what? Football is still being played. They didn't stop football because of the election, you know, although some of us wish they had. Hey, first question of the night. The most disappointing team of the season so far. I have three nominees. You're not obligated to stick to these nominees, but these are three teams that come to mind. And it's funny, I did this, and then about 30 minutes later, they actually did the exact same topic on First Take and actually used the exact same three teams that I picked. Now, I can't take credit for it because I was literally on my couch doing the agenda for the show, so but that was just coincidental. But the three teams are the Jets, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Chicago Bears. Again, you don't have to pick one of those three. But I'm going to start with Dr. Train, your most disappointing team so far of this season.
Dude, it has to be my own, man.
had to breathe on that one. Y'all heard the breathing. Y'all heard the breathing, right? He had to breathe. Mm-hmm. He had to take a deep breath on that one.
That was a heavy one.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it still has to be my own. While I did definitely expect a lot more out of Dallas was on the list. What was the third one? I forget the third one you said.
Yeah.
Bears, Dallas, and who else? Jets.
Jets.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. While I still expected definitely more out of Dallas, it's still my own team. As is, you know, they went through all of this stuff in the off season to say, you know, we're gonna make sure we hire the right guy and do everything they need and get our chance, get ourselves a talented quarterback. You have the top pick in the draft and you finally pull the trigger yourself, and it's more of the same. And fortunately, come with the denominator is Foose.
Train, I got to ask you. We got our buddy Lou's on the line. I will bring him on in a second. But Train, I got to ask you. They fired the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we keep it real here on the Madden Voice, right? We keep it real. We keep it 100. Okay. Y'all had Mitch Trubisky. Now, Mitch turned out really to, you know, not be who people thought. But, you know, originally there was some finger pointing at Chicago. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You had Justin Fields,
mm-hmm.
who showed some promise in Pittsburgh before Tomlin, you know, showed to be this Hall of Fame coach that he is and put Russell in. And, you know, we're going to get to talking about the Steelers in a little bit. But, and now you got Caleb, who by all accounts has regressed a bit. He's not playing as well as maybe the beginning of the season. The Chicago issue, is there a problem with the lack of developing quarterbacks in your team? And I know there's been different, so I rely on you because you know your team, and I know there's been different head coaches and coordinators, so, you know, there's different hands in the pot, but is there a structural problem with the lack of developing these quarterbacks in Chicago?
Hell yeah, there's a problem. They need to fix it. Yes. Yes. It's a problem. Yes, it's an organizational problem. Absolutely.
Okay.
They keep hiring pansies as head coach. Give me the nice guy. Not the guy that knows how to build a team to win football games. I want the nice guy.
Okay.
I don't care about your personal life. I'm a fan of the team. I turn them on Sunday, maybe Thursday, maybe even Monday. You know, maybe Saturday, you know, if they still ball. I don't care about your personal life. Just give me a good head coach. I don't care if he's offensive, defensive. Just give me a good head coach. They haven't figured that out yet. All the stuff that I've been reading and rumors about when Poles was hired and how he got saddled with Eberflus,
yeah,
they put all of that together. The right guy is coaching the Commanders right now, and you had two chances to go get him.
Yeah.
The first time you passed them up, and then this year you could have fired Foose and went and got him.
Yeah.
And
yeah, let's not talk about Dan Quinn and yeah, the fact that he's kicking ass and yeah.
I won't get too deep into really Dan Quinn. It's just that, you know, the loss to Washington was so bad because it was the everyone on there, you passed up. The head coach, the OC, and the quarterback. You passed all three up. And you lose due to a lack of coaching. If people say, oh, players, damn that coaching. We said it on this show for how many years now, team? Can you dial it back? We said
over
it.
Over a decade.
We said it. And this year, for the first time, it really does set in stone for Chicago, because it's not for lack of talent. Yeah, they got injuries on the low line. So does every other team in the NFL. It's coaching.
Yeah.
Getting your players ready. And so, yes, sorry for the long-winded answer, but yes, T, it's an organizational problem. Sure is. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's bring on our buddy Lou. Lou, welcome back to the Madden Voice.
Thanks. You know, I've been trying to get on, but I couldn't find you guys. But luckily, I did find you. Now, you actually got two of the three teams you're mentioning, I think, are pretty obvious, because we know how the Jets have been, you know, over the years, and of course, Aaron Rodgers has not been that much help. I mean, they're thinking, you know, him around, oh yeah, maybe we can get a division title or something. You know, but he hasn't done much. So, and the Bears, well, okay, they had a decent start to the season, but they're back to their old self again. So, two of the three teams that you think are the biggest disappointments are pretty obvious to me. My biggest disappointment is the Cowboys. You know, after I get into the divisional round last season and choke, you know, so this was a big letdown as far as I'm concerned. So, my biggest disappointment was Dallas. The other two, you mentioned the Bears and the Jets. Yeah, too obvious to me. Way too obvious.
Well, in fairness, the Jets were a quarterback away. That's what everyone kept saying. They're
that's
a quarterback
they all
away.
Say.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know what they all say, but they definitely said it about the Jets. I don't know that anybody saw this disaster coming in New York with, you know, Zach Wilson having more wins than the Jets. They went out, got Devontae. That hasn't mattered. They literally gave, you know, Aaron Rodgers everything he asked for. And
yeah.
I don't think anybody saw Aaron Rodgers playing as crappy as he's been playing. I mean, the guy can't get out of his own way. He's been terrible.
He should have retired after he got injured last season. He should have been gone already.
Say that again?
He should have retired after last season.
Well, you know, he got that big contract sitting out there. And, you know,
contract. If you're injured, you can't play. They got to pay when
he's not injured. He's not injured right now.
Well, he was a little slow getting up. I think in a previous game, you know, they were lucky they won that game 2 weeks ago. But Rodgers not the same as he was back in with the Packers.
Yeah, but no one knew that. We didn't know that till now. That's what I'm saying. Everybody expected him to be, you know, at least 70-80%. Of who he was.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody out there that would have predicted that the Jets would look as terrible as they look and that Aaron Rodgers would look as bad as he looked. I don't know anybody that called that. And I watch a lot of football shows and a lot of analysts, and they can say they did, but they'd be lying.
So my answer, because we're on this topic of the team, mine is the Jets, and the reason why to me is clearly the Jets. Was you look at the personnel, the Jets' defense last year was amazing. We can sit here and we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, but their defense is even playing bad. No one expected that. We said their defense to be dominant like it was last year, to be a quarterback away, and their defense has been leaking. I mean, the Cardinals dominated them. I mean, Russell Wilson Steelers dominated that defense.
Tuss Gardner,
former defensive player of the year candidate, he's not having a good year, and their whole defense is kind of systemically just taking a turn no one really predicted because they have such strong personnel. And so,
but haven't we heard this before? Haven't we said it before that they were a quarterback away, and it seems to say every year it seems like only two or three quarterbacks away than just one.
Yeah, but no one was saying it was a defense away. We have a defense. We thought they'd be a great defense this year, and they're not.
Yeah, and you know, you bring in Aaron Rodgers last year. He plays four plays, blows out his Achilles. He's gone. And like I said, I mean, I don't know that anybody saw. Now, you know, he still has half the season to turn it around. So, you know, we'll see. But for the first half of the season, he's just been terrible. He's been terrible. And like I said, you know, and I think K-Star brings up a valid point. You know, they had a solid defense. Their defense was lights out. And that was the other reason why, you know, they're a you know, quarterback away. Defense is tight. And they went and got all these weapons, you know, and it's done absolutely nothing. And really,
yeah,
I think you can really point to Aaron Rodgers as, even though the defense isn't playing like it was, offense ain't putting up no points.
I suppose.
No, and honestly, that's where I'm going also. My biggest disappointment, as bad as the boys have been, that's been a huge disappointment. Jacksonville's been a disappointment, but it's the Jets. And K-Star hit it. T, you just hit it. Last year, they had horrible quarterback play and still were in the hunt to make the playoffs. And you got Aaron Rodgers coming back. And even a average Aaron Rodgers would have been just enough. They have progressively gotten worse as the year has progressed. And I think we all agreed with him coming back from the Achilles injury, it's going to take him maybe the first few games to get his feet underneath him, figuratively and literally. And we've seen him still get worse even after that point. And you exacerbate the issue by firing Saleh, who was a defensive-minded coach, and you put the defensive coordinator in to be the head coach, who has had no, if I recall correctly, no prior head coaching experience. So now you've weakened your strength, and you have not done anything with your weakness, which has been the offense. So you add both of those together, combined with it, like T said, you bring in Davante Adams, and I said before, it's not going to make a difference, and it hasn't. And you even bring Hassan Reddick back in, and still not really seeing anything. So you bring in multiple pieces, you bring in a healthier Aaron Rodgers, and you end up firing your head coach, and you're still getting worse as the season goes on. So that's got to be
a mistake. Huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's a train wreck every week.
It's a systemic failure at this point. They did have their defense that was playing well early the year. Fire Saleh, offense doesn't improve. Defense now is going the other way. It's like the Jets were in those games before Saleh got fired, all of them. And I think had they been more patient, they'd be in a lot better position than they are right now. But they fired him, put in an experienced guy. I'm sure that took a lot of morale hit. The team did for that, and you're seeing it on the field, and it's just not what I expected.
No, you know, and the folks that are Aaron Rodgers' boys outside of Montez, where's Lazard at? He was supposed to be his third down guy. We haven't heard anything from him. So you bring in pieces that Aaron wants, and none of the pieces fit, and nothing's working. It is a triage that is bleeding out of every orifice still.
You know, this makes me think of a situation where we talk about who's really running the organization. And, you know, I think about Tom Brady and the amount of influence he had in New England, but everybody knew Belichick ran that organization, right? Except when Belichick wanted to dump Brady and Kraft stepped in and said, you're not getting rid of my son. You know, I think to LeBron James, we know LeBron James is managing, you know, the moves, no matter what he says, let's keep it real. LeBron James is running Los Angeles, you know. Michael Jordan had a lot to do with the Chicago Bulls player personnel moves. They went out and got Dennis Rodman. They went to Michael first and said, what do you think? Michael said, I can play with him. Bring him. I got him. Right? And they went and won three titles together, you know. But it takes a rare talent to be able to play at a Hall of Fame level and still understand the game you play to where the moves that you suggest or that you influence are in the best interest of the team. And it seems to me that this team went all in on Aaron Rodgers, all in, including firing Saleh. I don't give a damn what he says. the dude had that, Jay, weren't you the one who talked about how he had dinner with the owner the night before?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll tell you
that. I mean,
but then,
I mean, you know, come on now. Let's you know, don't piss on my boots and tell me it's raining up in this piece, okay? Like, you know you had something to do with it. You know you wanted him out. Mm-hmm. Well, you got what you wanted. You got Devontae. You got a good 8 or 9 players from Green Bay that they got over the last 2 years. They built the team around you. They built it for you. And you ain't done nothing but stunk it the heck up. That's what you've done. Yeah. You have stunk it up. And now the Jets have mortgaged their future because all those guys they went and got, they cost draft picks. So the next couple years, the draft's going to be weak. You know, I mean, they might get a decent draft pick, you know, because of their record. But as far as having multiple picks, oh, no, that's done. They gave up a lot of those picks. So the Jets' future, excuse my French, is fucked. And what happened when Aaron Rodgers says, I'm done? Was that?
You suck.
I missed it. I missed the joke. Okay. But, and what happens if Aaron Rodgers says at the end of the year, I'm done. I played like crap. I'm no longer good at this game. I'm not going to come out here and keep embarrassing myself. I'm all
you
done.
Said that us.
Then what? Now what you going to do? What you going to do? Go out and get Mitch Trubisky or somebody? What you going to do?
No, don't go there.
Ooh.
Trubisky, forget it.
You can't play any worse.
I would say we
let's sell the team.
We will talk about the Cowboys shortly, but I will also have to agree, and I certainly can respect Train saying the Bears because it's his team. And the Bears started out 4-2 and have plummeted. And for Dr. Train, it's the same old song, can't get the quarterback situation right, can't get the head coach situation right. So I have no problem with Train saying the Bears, and he should say the Bears. And under normal circumstances, I would say the Cowboys. Spire texted, a guy named Zach Wilson might be available for the Jets. If I'm Zach Wilson, I would not go back and play for the Jets. Like, y'all had your chance. Fuck you. That's all I got to say. But my heart wants to say the Cowboys are the most disappointing, but that's emotion. But I think if I take the emotion out of it, I got to go with the Jets, too. Because they were definitely a strong preseason pick to win the division, to beat Buffalo. Some were even talking, you know, going to the AFC Championship game and, you know, dream matchup between Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and all of that. You know, that's what we were hearing. And that don't look likely at this point. You know, if they meet, it's going to be a golf course. So now let's take this conversation to the other end of the spectrum. We talk about disappointments. Yeah. Let me ask you guys, Sam Darnold, he's another one. If the Jets came calling, I'd say, fuck you. You know, you had your shot with me. I ain't going back. So we got Detroit 8-1. We got Kansas City 9-0. I got some of the par rankings in. And we've got a couple of Chiefs, and we got to note to no one who's been following the show, surprise, K-Star has the Lions at the number one team on the rankings. But I got to ask K-Star a question. K-Star, if the Chiefs and the Lions play Sunday, who wins?
Lions win.
Man, you out your mind.
Lions and Chiefs play last year, being the year the Lions kicked their ass, bro.
That was last year.
I know that, but the Lions, it's not like the Lions are very – the Lions are the Lions. People need to realize the Lions aren't your old – your father's Lions. This is a new Lions.
Well, your grandfather's Lions.
Awesome.
Dude, the Lions beat my Cowboys.
The
Lions beat my Cowboys 47-9. I think I know how good the Lions are.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I think I know how good they are. Okay. Nobody need to teach me anything. I watched the entire game from start to finish, and they were throwing passes to offensive linemen in the third quarter. Okay. I know how good they are. Okay. But let me and train go back in time with me when back years ago when Alex Smith was the Chiefs quarterback and the Chiefs were like 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, 11-0, and we had to argue with K-Star about the Chiefs being the best team in the league. Dude. And K-Star was like, no.
I had the Broncos.
Dude, I was even in that, remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was 9-0, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Chiefs are undefeated. Now, I give you, they had to get a blocked field goal, but they got it. But they got it. They're 9-0,
They've also had to get, a Bengals game. They've had so much luck go their way. I understand that at some point, the Chiefs, they were number one in power, I think, most of the year, but there's just too many close calls to where, to me, it's like, all right.
Really? You did watch the Lions and Texans game, didn't you? I know you did.
I did, and the Lions came back. The Lions had the highest point differential in all the NFL by a magnitude of two.
I don't understand.
The Lions are blowing teams out each and every week. They face adversity. They prove they can win on the road in a game in which they play like shit. They just turn them over.
So the Chiefs are facing adversity, and they're winning. But they're undefeated.
They're right. They don't have that point of view.
They're the defending Super Bowl champs.
And they're two times.
Okay. What are the Chiefs doing?
And they've lost their running back, Pacheco, and they lost Reece Rice.
And that matters. And that's going to matter, guys. That's the point.
And they're still
winning. The Lions are healthy, except for Aiden Hutchinson.
They're not healthy. The Lions have a healthier roster.
Yes. That's what I just said. Thank you for repeating the point I just made. And the Lions are still a better team because they have a better, more complete team. They have a more solid identity to rely upon, which is their great ground game, their opportunistic defense. They have more of a foundation at this point to rely on. The Chiefs were working in Kareem Hunt, who are working in Juju Smith-Schuster. DeAndre Hopkins was a great pickup, for sure. Mm. I mean, the Chiefs are holding on to a 34-year-old tight end to maintain the offense. At some point, you got to ask yourself, is this sustainable? If you think so, that's fine. But I have my doubts, and we saw them almost lose to a team in the Broncos. Well,
number one, Broncos are up and coming, number one. Number two, that you just really spoke to the brilliance of the Chiefs. The fact that they can keep plugging and playing folks in and still continue to win that haven't been on the team from the very beginning of the season, just be able to pick players up and get them to willing to
love,
the system and still be able to win. You just spoke to the brilliance of the Chiefs as a whole, because here's the thing, K-Star. It's not just Mahomes. It's not just Andy Reid. It's the culture that they've created. That's the difference. It's been able to sustain year after year after year after year.
Mm.
That's the difference. The Lions
are
talking
about this year.
Can you dig it? I can't dig it. I don't dig it at all.
You want to know why? No. Because each and every year when we do power rankings, we say, it doesn't matter what happened last year. So you went to all Super Bowls, that's great. But that should not play into factor in this year because last year's Super Bowl doesn't mean they won the Super Bowl this year.
You just said the Lions beat the Chiefs last year. You
I
literally just went there.
But if I'm borrowing your logic, I'm just saying you want to put a hypothetical out there.
Oh, jeez, man. He said it to use the logic in his favor, and then he dismissed it when it wasn't in his favor, and then he used
it
again.
Which is what you're doing. Which is what you said to me. Which is what you did to me, and then you weaved it back to say,
honestly, I don't use any of that. They're just undefeated, and it's the NFL.
I've been saying this from day one with this Chiefs team. They have been undefeated this season. They have had to plug and play folks
this season. They have picked up folks either via trade or off waivers this season. They have lost key players this season. They are still winning games this season. They are undefeated and the only undefeated team in the NFL right now this season. Those are all facts for this season.
And just to clarify, when I bring up the fact that they won two Super Bowls, I don't bring it up to solidify that how good they are. I only talk about the reality of they are attempting to do something that's never been done before. And the pressure that that brings to the situation cannot be underestimated. That's all. That's all I'm saying. The Lions are an up-and-coming juggernaut of a team. And right now, if I had to pick a team out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, I would probably pick them. I say probably. They would probably be my team, but I just got whooped by the Eagles, and I'm a little butthurt by that whooping the Eagles put on me, so I don't know. So I don't know, but I would probably lean towards them. But when I look at them going head-to-head and I look at the Chiefs' defense and I look at Mahomes' ability to just hang in there in a year that has just not been one of his better years, the guy still finds a way to make a play at the right time and you know, to put the team in a position to win week after week after week. Lowest point differential in the history of teams that are 9-0.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that matters. That's going to crack. It reminds me of the Eagles last year. Eagles had an 8-0 start, or I believe it was 9-0. They had the lowest point differential. And guess what happened to them?
Nick Sirianni, on his best day, cannot coach like Andy Reid.
I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to collapse. I am saying that the Chiefs are going to lose some games going forward because you can see how it's playing out
when you watch
the season. That's all I'm saying. And because, point differential matters. Like, it does, because it's a predictive metric that can give you insight as to how good of a team is playing and how, if they're winning these one score games by a first each and every week, is that sustainable? Now,
it also lets you know who they playing. Who they played.
The Lions have had tougher schedules so far this year than the Chiefs have had. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lions have been awesome. Like, for me, listen, this isn't even me knocking the Chiefs. It's just like, when I look at the pointer, it's so mad. It's like, I think it's like 80 points or something fucking ridiculous like that for the Lions.
I think if they played on Sunday, so I don't think it would matter. I don't think it matters. They played.
I think the Lions would be favored.
Depends on where they play. They're in Kansas City. Lions wouldn't be favored.
Yeah.
Maybe at home. And by the way, your boy threw 5 picks against the Texans.
I know, and they still found a way to win, which is crazy.
Okay, I give him credit for that. But you think he's going to throw 5 picks against Kansas City, who has a better defense than the Texans, and win? Come on now.
No, but I also don't expect him to throw 5 picks against Kansas City. But you're right. I mean, again, right, they both have faced adversity. This isn't
I don't want you to get this whole point differential thing confused, because I swear, sometimes we just need to look at things in detail, my man. And while I understand the premise of your argument, undefeated is undefeated. This whole point differential you talking about the Lions had came from 2 games, Dallas and the Titans. Every other game they've had been within 1 score. And they damn near lost a game where they quarterback through 5 interceptions. So while I do believe they are the toughest team in the NFC right now, best team in the league goes to the team that's undefeated, man. And they're doing it after winning a championship, which makes you public enemy number 0. Like, everybody is getting it up to play them. It doesn't matter. Everybody's getting it up to come at them. Because they don't want to see them do it.
Agreed. And I'm just saying,
you can say what you say about point differential, but look at the details of who was who they played.
Yeah, the Lions have played a tough schedule. I mean, they,
the Cowboys
are ass this year.
The two teams that he got that they put up, damn near 1-50, 147 against, are not good teams.
Okay,
if they are who they are, they're supposed to kick their ass.
I'm looking at the schedule against bad teams. That's the point. That's why point differential matters. They are struggling against the Raiders. They should have lost. They got outplayed by the fucking Broncos, guys. I don't give a shit if you're 9-0. They had a fucking They had a fucking fingertip save them from losing to the Broncos. And we could say, oh, up and coming Broncos. They got the ass beat by 30 points by the fucking Ravens the week before. Can we be serious? Can we be serious about this? We saw the Bengals outplay them in Kansas City. You know how they won that game? Details? What about details? Oh, how about a late 3rd and 18?
Who are the defending champs again?
Phantom defensive holding call. Hold on, no.
Who's defending champs?
You're talking about details. I remember the
details. No, but who are the defending champs, though?
Yeah.
Who are the defending champs? So you're trying to tell me, please take the call. So no. I know the answer to this. I'm going to ask you the rhetorical question anyway. What team do you get up to play against? A team that did not make it to the Super Bowl, or the team that won the Super Bowl? Which team do you want to beat the most?
Bro,
two in a row, by the way.
Do you think people are taking – hold on. Bro, yeah, sure, but do you not think people are, like, not looking at – like, I do think they're just looking at the Lions.
All that matters, bro. It all matters.
I know. That's why I think the Lions are the better team. There's less pressure on this team.
Gosh, okay.
They don't have public enemy number one persona. They don't have a quarterback that's having a bad year by their relative standards. Mahomes is playing having a bad year for his standards. Goff's in a very good year. The Lions have all the indicators in which will point to you and say they're the better team outside of that one lone loss that they do have, okay? But there are so many circumstances within the details, within the devils of the details, like that Bengals game, like this Broncos game that goes to show you the Chiefs aren't as good as that 9-0 record says, which is why their point differential is the lowest in NFL history. I'm just saying, they're very good. The Chiefs are very good, but they're not as good as their record.
Who's a better coach, Andy Reid or Dan Campbell?
Andy Reid. That's why
who's
they're able to do this.
Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes or Goff?
Patrick Mahomes. But the rest of the team's the Lions.
On this very show, we have stressed the importance of quarterback-head coach relationships and how important they are in football. You just admitted that the team that you said was loose has a better head coach and quarterback. So are you now denouncing the whole head coach quarterback?
It's not announcement. It's a false equivalence. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that the reason why the Chiefs are the Chiefs is because they have Reed and Mahomes, but they're having to do a lot of magic together to hold that team up. I mean, I'm just saying that the rest of the team is not – the Chiefs are a good defense, and that matters a lot. But I'm saying that some of their other playmakers, they're just not nearly as good as the Lions playmakers that they have around Goff.
If they go into Buffalo and beat Buffalo, will you put them back at number one next week?
No.
Not if the Lions win. Not if the Lions win. Tell them, K-Star.
So the Chiefs.
Who are the Lions playing next week? I mean, it's a good question. I don't know who the Lions are playing.
Oh, they're not playing anybody great on Sunday. They're not even on my pick six, so it's not anybody tough.
If the Chiefs win, versus the Bills, I'll put them back at number one because the Bills are also one of the elite teams. I think that does matter. Who you play matters for sure. So I mean, yeah, that would because the we're talking about splitting hairs here. I mean, I think the Chiefs are a really good team still. So, yes, if they do beat the Bills, regardless of what the Lions do, regardless of once the Lions blow out the Jaguars, I mean, I would put them because, again, the Bills are a high, high, high quality team that be really impressive. And I think we at Buffalo.
Yeah, it's in Buffalo.
I'll put that one. I mean, I had the Chiefs in one most of the year. I would.
Okay. Yeah, that's game of the week on Pick Six.
Just to kind of finish our power rankings, our partial power rankings, we got the Chiefs number one, Lions number two, Bills number three, Steelers at number four. I will note I did not have the Steelers on my power rankings. And the Eagles at number five.
Oh, yes, I did. Actually, yes, I did. I think I had them on five.
Yeah, you did. You and K-Star had the Steelers. I did not. I had the Eagles and the Ravens. And you know, I'm butthurt because, you know, let's get into these Cowboys. These Cowboys. Jay, I got a question for you, bro. Is it over? Has the fat lady sung, and is it over for the Dallas Cowboys?
Man, that fat lady was singing at the Falcons game.
Yeah, man, you went to that game. You're supposed to bring us some luck.
Yeah, I did until the second half came. It was horrible, and I don't even know where to start. It seems as though, and we saw this with the San Francisco game, we saw this obviously with this past game, whatever happens at halftime ain't supposed to be happening because they come out flatter than 3-month-old soda. And nothing changes. 3-month-old soda. Every time, this a couple of shows ago, every time Dallas comes down and kicks a field goal and the other team scores a touchdown, it's a wrap. That happened against the Falcons. That happened against the Eagles. It seems as though the wind gets taken out of their sails from start. I am disappointed in them from the fact that it's not just – it starts with Jerry and it works all the way down. But at some point in time, you have to have some pride, and you have to play for pride, and you have to play for your fellow player, your teammates. And I never saw that. I don't see folks fighting for each other the way they used to. Even with the horrible teams that we had with Jimmy Johnson when he was coming up, before they finally broke through, you could see fight. I'm not seeing any fight. I see a fight for the first 30 minutes, and then they just sandbag it the rest of the way. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. And the fact that he was all in, he being Jerry from the start, we're all in what? All in a bunch of crap? Agreed. You lose a ton of talent and you don't replace it. You have folks defecting to
the crap.
Folks going to the Apollo, going to the Titans. You lose your DC as a head coach and Commanders, but you don't replace any of that talent that you lost. And I think that's where it starts from Jerry and works its way down. And this is the results that we're seeing.
So I will say that Cooper Rush, Dak is hurt. Word came out today that he's getting surgery tomorrow, and he's out for the year, which, you know, frankly, if the season wasn't over, I will tell you if Dak played against Philly, we win that game. Because if you watch the first half of that game, the defense played out of their mind. Offense didn't do shit. I don't know who the quarterback was. I know his name is Cooper Rush, but that ain't the same Cooper Rush from 2 years ago. I don't know who that guy was. He got minus 3 points in fantasy, by the way. I had Geno Smith, but he had a bye week, so I had to go pick up a quarterback. So I picked up Cooper figuring, well, even, you know, if he gives me half of what Dak has given me, it'll be okay. Well, he got me minus 3 points. I ended up losing to K-Star. Largely because of that. After winning 4 or 5 in a row, I end up losing this week. But with Dak being gone, the little bit of hope I had has left my lungs. And the only thing that I will say, if Dallas wants to try to save the season and continue to fight for what is a very fleeting playoff spot, Cooper Rush showed us that he ain't got it. You got to go ahead and put your money in Trey Lance's corner. The guy's mobile. he didn't play great, but he also didn't have a week of, you know, he didn't practice with the first team. He didn't get, you know, the installation of the game. He came in, you know, ran a couple plays in the third quarter and then came back and played in the fourth quarter during cleanup time. Turn the team over to Cooper Rush. Let's see what we got. He's at the end of his contract. Okay, let's see what we got. Give the guy a chance to audition to be a starter for another team. Guy was number three pick in the draft 2 years ago. Put your money in his pocket because Cooper Rush did nothing. That's number one. Number two, everybody on the team got to shut the fuck up, including Jerry Jones. It's time to shut your mouth. It's just
especially Jerry Jones.
It's time. It's time to just shut up, Jerry. You're not doing anything at this point. And I am a huge fan of Jerry Jones, and I've been a huge supporter of Jerry Jones over the years. I've said Jerry Jones is one of the best general managers in history because the Cowboys always have talented rosters. Even over the last 30 years, how many times have they had the best roster in the league? 8, 9 Pro Bowlers. That's Jerry Jones doing all that with Will McClain, Stephen Jones. But Jerry Jones is pulling those strings. This year, Jerry Jones is doing nothing to help the team.
He isn't doing shit.
I got Jonathan Mingo. Then he didn't even play. I don't even know the guy. Carolina wide receiver. Then he didn't even play. You said Derrick Henry was too expensive, but you didn't even pick up the phone and talk to him. You didn't even try. You didn't even make the call. Derrick Henry came out and said, I want to play for Dallas. Derrick Henry lives in Dallas. That's where he lives. So in the offseason, when he's working out, he's 15 minutes from the stadium. He wanted to be a Cowboy, and you didn't pick up the phone to at least discuss it with him, to at least have a conversation,
right,
to see what are the chances. Hey, let's talk. Like, this has been as big of a failure as I have ever seen with this team. And I've been following this team since I was a little boy. This is as big of a disappointment as I've ever seen. And Micah, on the field, man, you are one of the best. You came back in off of, your high ankle sprain, and you got 2 sacks, you got a forced fumble. Like, you know, although did y'all see, I don't know if y'all watched the game, did y'all see number 13, Demarion Overshawn?
He's telling y'all about him. He's a poor man's Micah. Watch him develop.
He really is. He really is. For me, Jerry got to shut up, which ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would do, honestly, frankly, I would fire – Mike McCarthy would be fired. He'd be fired. Jay, you nailed it. I don't know what the hell's going on at halftime. You guys come out in the third quarter and stink up the joint. But to me, that's coaching. That's a lack of preparation. You know, the other teams are adjusting. They come out and they score 2-3 touchdowns. Dallas does nothing. McCarthy would be fired immediately. I would put Al Harris as interim head coach for the rest of the season. He's respected. He knows the team. And I would put him as interim head coach. Like, if you guys in Dallas want to do something, the season ain't over yet. We're still going to, you know, all the right things he's saying.
Right.
Okay. Then show us. Then what are you doing? And, you know, Micah, bruh, you are a great talent. But, man, you are not a podcaster. You are not, like your talent is not speaking. Public speaking
right.
is not your talent. You got a long way to go. Now, your podcast might be going well. Because you play for the Dallas Cowboys and they're the most popular team of all of sports.
Yeah.
So your podcast is probably doing well.
And because he's leaking things left and right. This guy's crazy.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You come out here talking about McCarthy and all that. Dude, what positive impact did you think that was going to have on the locker room, on the team? You want to talk about Zach Martin? Hey, that's cool. But then you want to talk about, oh, well, Mike, you know, he's doing more than Mike McCarthy ever does. What's the point of that comment, bro? Then you try to walk it back. That's because you're not there. Your articulation skills are subpar. I'm sorry. I've been listening to you talk. Bro, you can't.
Yeah, it's a shame.
You can't. And so God bless Bleacher Report for bringing you on. And I know your podcast is very popular, but if I'm you, I'd stop it for the rest of the season, bro, and focus on that field. Dallas, your team is terrible. Your team is horrendous. And the only way is to rally around each other, support each other, because Mike McCarthy ain't it. He'd be gone. Cooper Rush showed us what he got last week. And what did Mike McCarthy do? He named him starter for the next week. Really? Got those for the least amount of yards of any Cowboy quarterback in 23 years. Ain't been since 2001, since we had that 46 yards passing. That's what he threw for. Didn't complete a pass longer than 10 yards the whole game.
How
long you been in the league? Like, you had all week to practice with the first team, and that's what you got? Fumbling snaps and shit? Like, hey, I know in my heart the season's over, but my loyalty is going to keep fighting for my team. I'm going to be there Monday night to watch the Texans. I'm going to be in the corner. I'm going to wear my Cowboy gear. I'm going to have my scotch, and I'm going to root for my team. And I'm going to sit here and say, okay, you know, 3-6. If we get this one, we go to 4-6. And, you know, where does that put us? And, hey, that's what I'm going to do because I'm loyal to my team. Reality is, it's over.
Okay, then make that some pitch a double.
It's over. But.
Pull me one and two while you.
What'd you say, Jay?
I said, make that a double and pull me 1-2 while you're at it.
I'm going to do it because I need one to get through the game. But, you know, Eric says, we know the coin flip and we know where the sun's going to be. Man, Jerry, shut up. You don't always win the flip, so you don't always get to choose. It's like, dude, are you that oblivious? You're the only owner in NFL that does a news conference after every game. You're the only owner in NFL who has a weekly show on a local radio station. Like, bruh, do you not understand how that's just not helping your team? Are you that oblivious? Are you that much of an attention hound that it's more important for you to be front and center? League, you're going to have plenty of opportunities for careers after your career is done. You got plenty of opportunities. You don't need to get no jump start on it. You know, there are areas of the team that are shining. We should be getting out the polish and shining those up and focusing in on how do we emphasize those positive areas in an effort to try to win a game. That's what I'd like to see. And I would tell you, if it was me, McCarthy would be fired right now. He'd be gone, period. And secondly, I'd have a long talk with Michael Parsons. I'd be like, bruh, hey, maybe you didn't mean it the way it came out. If you don't talk so much, you ain't got to worry about what you're saying. Hey, man, if the season's done, I'm going to keep fighting for my team.
But you know what? You said it yourself. If it was you, McCarthy would be gone. And I think we both agreed in the last year he'd be gone because he wasn't getting them over the hump. The 12-5 record has been more of a line of resistance than it has been of support. So they apparently can't seem to get over the 12-5 hump. The problem is Jerry's not going to hire someone who has a bigger personality than him. He is not going to go out and hire an A++ personality because he does not want anybody to dim his light. You don't have owners showing up on the helicopter, landing the damn helicopter on the practice field in the middle of a season when the team is getting ready for a game that coming Sunday. You just don't hear that stuff. And I agree, like, just like you said, no other owner has a weekly show. You don't hear any other owner having a conference right after a game. You don't hear anything about that. But you hear it in Dallas because of Jerry. And Jerry can't get out of Jerry's way. And as long as Jerry's still there, this is going to be the same thing over and over and over. We got Jimmy Johnson. We saw the success we had. We also saw what happened with that. Had Parcells, had some success. Parcells had enough of that.
Those are the only two folks we've seen as head coaches that have had a personality as big or bigger than Jerry Jones. Nobody else has. And we have not been back to the NFC Championship game or Super Bowl ever since. Starts with Jerry. And it ends with Jerry.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you who our next head coach is going to be. Remember I said it. Double B.
Deion?
No. Deion don't want to go to the NFL. Double B.
No, is Jerry not going to hire him anyway?
I don't think – I don't know. They have a great relationship, so I don't know if Jerry would hire Deion. But I think he's going to hire Bill Belichick. The question is, will Bill Belichick take the job, which I think he would. You know, one of the best defensive players in the league. And you have pieces. And I think that we saw this with Parcells, you know, who taught Belichick a lot of what he knows and who worked for, you know, Jerry Jones for 4 years as head coach. And that was his last head coaching job. So I'm predicting McCarthy gets fired if he makes it through the season, which Jerry Jones has only fired, I think, one coach. No, two. Chan Gailey and Wade Phillips got fired during the season, and he regretted both of them. So it is unlikely that he's going to fire McCarthy during the season. Not impossible, but unlikely. But I'm predicting that the Cowboys, and I'm going to tell you why. Jerry likes to make a splash. There's no bigger splash. Maybe the only one that would be in that same conversation is Deion. But Deion has been very clear. Deion does not want to come play in the NFL. I mean, coach in the NFL. He likes coaching kids. So, you know, there's an outside shot that, you know, he goes after Deion. But I think he wants the proven, you know, the guy that could come in immediately. Jerry's 81 years old, or 82, something like that. He's in his 80s. So he knows closer to the end than to the beginning. And, you know, if he wants to see another Super Bowl, he wants a guy that can come in and turn the team around in a year or two. I don't know that that's Deion. That's six Super Bowls. You know? So that's my prediction. Belichick.
Thank you.
All right. Last topic of the night. Sleeper teams. Who is on the up and – we talked about – the teams that we're disappointed in. We talked about the Chiefs and the Lions. They're clearly the teams that are leading the division. But is there, leading the conferences right now, is there a sleeper team that we should keep an eye on that might surprise us down the stretch? Jay, I'll start with you. You got a sleeper team out there?
I'm going to say, gosh. There's two, but I'll just go with one. I'm going to say the Chargers. Having Harbaugh has been a godsend for them. Herbert's looking a little bit better. He's brought a level of nastiness and toughness to that team overall. And I think no matter who they play, they're going to be a tough out. They've got the pieces, the requisite pieces to really give anybody, including the Chiefs, not saying they will beat them, but I'm saying it's going to be a dogfight when you play the Chargers. You got to bring your hard hat with them. That would be the first team I would say that comes to mind as a sleeper.
Okay. K-Star, you got a sleeper?
I was going to go Chargers for the same reasons, but I'm because Siri selected them, JB already selected them. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. They've had a really, really tough schedule, and they're one of the teams in the league that their defense is getting better, but they can beat you in a multitude of different ways. Whether or not they're having a really great running game with James Conner, shout out to the former Steeler, still doing such a great job at running back. But then, you know, Tyler just has those games where he takes over. And then they got Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride. They just have some really, really strong players. They have a defense that's coming we saw what they just did last week to the Jets. And I know that Aaron Rodgers is disappointing, but my God, 6 points. And again, they played the second toughest schedule in terms of win percentage so far in the league. So I'll go with the Cardinals. I would have picked the Chargers first, but in NFC, I'll go with the Cardinals as a sleeper team.
Okay. Trey, got a sleeper team?
It would have been the Chargers for everything Jay said. Harbaugh probably should have been a Bears head coach. It's okay.
Oh, he was perfect.
All right, Bears.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the Dolphins, with the caveat that Tua got to stop. You know, he went down there and made that tackle, man. He went head first, man. I don't know what he's thinking. but Tua's been playing really well since he's been back, and I guess that tackle shows that he's not playing with any fear. He's not playing tentative. He's playing to win, and I think keep an eye on those Dolphins over in the AFC East. I know it's a tough division, but, you know, the Jets ain't doing nothing. Bills are tough, but the Dolphins always play the Bills tough. Yeah, so I'm gonna go with the Dolphins as my sleeper team. All right. Anything else, guys, before we go to final thoughts? Open floor.
I can give y'all a pick six for this week. So, week 10 results. Everyone came in 5-1 except for Spire. She missed the team. So, she ended up being 4-2. And Kay started 5-1 because he decided to send his on Sunday instead of Thursday. He would have been 6-0, actually.
Oh, well.
However, you are still leading the pack at 43. 43 wins. Then I'm second. T and J like brothers. They're tied. Then of course Spire.
How we roll?
But she was 14. Okay. And Spire has 14 wins through 18 games, so still good picks. Your pick six for week 11 already sent out. And we got some nice ones. Thursday, kick it off. 7-3 Commanders at 7-2 Eagles. Next one, another division matchup, 7-3 Ravens at 7-2 Steelers. I think both these teams need this one, but it's a non-conference matchup, 6-4 Falcons at 5-5 Broncos. Then we got another divisional matchup, and for a division that's wide open, 4-5 Seahawks at 5-4 Niners, likely the game of the week. The 9-0 Chiefs at the 8-2 Bills, and our sleeper team, 4-6 Bengals at 6-3 Chargers. Have fun picking up.
All right. I'm waiting on Spire is going to send me her sleeper. Okay, guess not. She liked our selection. So Spire's been listening the whole show. Actually, I see her number on the switchboard. Actually, she's got the Broncos as her sleeper. I gotta tell you, I know we talked about the Broncos blowing that game against Kansas City, but if there's any team and any coach that can rally around a loss, it's the Broncos under Sean Payton. Because Payton knows they should have won that game. Payton knows they outplayed him. Payton is showing why he's a Hall of Fame coach. You know, we have not seen Bill Belichick do it as a head coach elsewhere yet. But when we see coaches, you know, go somewhere else and have the same magic, that means a lot. That shows you who they are. Look at the Chargers, you know, the sleeper. Look at Harbaugh. You know, everywhere he goes, you know, San Francisco, right? Then he went to Michigan College, right? And killed it down there, right? Now he took over the Chargers and they killing it. So, you know, good coaches can go to different organizations and get it done. So, but I like that one. All right, let's go to final thoughts. Let's start with JB. Your final thoughts.
Well, it's real simple. We're at a little past the halfway mark, and until you said it best when the season first started, blink the eye, it's going to be Thanksgiving, blink eye again, and we're in the playoffs. And
we're pretty much on our way. It's disappointing, obviously, with the Cowboys. We talked about that, obviously, ad nauseum. And just talking about it makes me nauseous to begin with, so I won't go there. All I'm going to say is for the Bears, train and enjoy your team best you can. I feel for you. I really do. I thought they had it together. But you know what? There's still a lot of season left. And to your right, we'll keep cheering for our team. We know the end result, but we're going to be loyal fans and we're going to keep pushing. And basically anybody that's out there got a team that's struggling, stay loyal to your team, keep fighting for them, even if you know the outcome. Just keep on fighting with them.
Okay. K-Star.
Yeah, final thought. This has got to be the most passive-aggressive podcast we've ever been on all history of the Madden Voice. Not once was I asked about Russell Wilson. Not once was I asked about my Steelers. Except for in passing, it is 10:17. We are so far in deep within this podcast, and Russell Wilson and Steelers are playing absolutely fantastic. To not bring it up is a crime against football humanity, a crime against me personally.
I believe I said open floor at any other comments.
He did.
So that was your opportunity to bring up the Steelers. But go ahead, continue.
I will continue. Thank you. listen, shout out to Steelers. Shout out to Mike Tomlin again just for dropping his balls on the NFL. And so Russell Wilson could throw his moon balls across the NFL into George Pickens' hands, into Mike Williams' hands. What an addition that was by trading for Mike Williams. Perfect for Russell Wilson's play style. Big win against the Commanders. Shout out to us, beating the NFC East team for the Cowboys. You're welcome. Didn't hear a thank you once, not on this podcast at all. But the fact of the matter is the Steelers are playing well. We have offensive firepower we haven't seen in years, and I'm super excited for Russell Wilson's comeback. I'm here for it. And my God, I am excited for Sunday. Baltimore struggled versus the Pittsburgh Steelers for a long time. Lamar Jackson has had his worst games against the Steelers. I know we're playing Derrick Henry, but for us to be 4-point underdogs at home, it's just disgusting because the Steelers should be favored in this game at home. That's okay. They can disrespect
Man,
us.
Stop.
Not sure why you're laughing. Not sure why you're laughing. We have a higher win percentage. When we have a higher win percentage than the Raiders do. That's right. I'm prepared. Thank you. I'm prepared for the show. When we have a higher point differential than the Ravens despite playing one less game, you know, I mean, my God. The disrespect's crazy, and it didn't even continue on the show in ways in which are really offensive toward me. And go Steelers. We ball out.
Hey, K-Star. Don't get a high ankle sprain or catch COVID next week. I missed the show after you steal the blue. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Still going to lose to the Ravens, bro. I'm sorry. It's still been playing great. That's going to be the Ravens. That's all I'm going to say. I'll leave that right there.
Okay.
Final thoughts.
So, yes, K-Star, T did leave the window open. That's why I jumped in it. You should have jumped in it, and we would have had a nice conversation about the Steelers. I will say I've always been a huge fan of Mike Tomlin, and, man, it is always crazy to see what he does with his team every year. And he is literally pumping life back into Russell Wilson. So, good deals, and I don't think you really have an issue about not being a favorite. Go on, man. It is the Ravens. You know, people did not expect these other Steelers. However, that doesn't mean you don't have a chance to win the game. Who cares if you're a favorite? You're at home, and you're starting to play good football. So, and it's not even December yet. You haven't even unleashed hell. So, relax, dude. You're good. You know, you're not in my situation. Okay, okay. Just calm down. You're not in my
situation. Or my situation, all right? Okay?
You see, this is this that guy over there. He ain't giving his last words yet, just so you know it's coming. All right, so thank you, Bears, for at least taking one step in the right direction for getting rid of the OC who really didn't know what the hell he was doing. Good luck, Matt Eberflus. I don't look forward to seeing you back next year, even if they do choose you back. Please save our young quarterback. And another tidbit that the show probably doesn't know about, Matt Eberflus did not hire Cliff Kingsbury because of his ego. Not Kingsbury's ego.
his own ego. He did not want a coach on his team that had a bigger personality than him. And that is why Cliff Kingsbury is not the OC of the Chicago Bears. Facts, guys. Facts. Just saying. That's how dysfunctional this organization is right now. Good to be a Bears fan, though. Keep going. Good season, guys. Good season. Good season. Other than that, it's been some wild football this season. I'm actually good. I'm actually glad to see some games close, some games not so close, but parity is alive and well in the NFL. Let's keep it going.
Okay. I will say this about the Steelers. I was very impressed at the turnout in Washington. The Steelers pretty much took over that stadium. There were terrible towels everywhere, and I know they travel well, but I didn't know they travel that well. So I was very impressed with that. Yeah, that was cool. And, you know, what can we say about Mike Tomlin? I mean, Mike Tomlin is who he is. You know, he's a coach everybody loves and everybody wants and nobody can have because the Steelers ain't letting him go. Even a couple years ago when there was talk about letting him go, I think we were united at, nah, you don't let this guy go. You know.
No, he's never going to.
Write home about, but you know, he was kind of alpha dog for a minute. But anyway, look, I said a lot about the Cowboys tonight. Here's how I'm going to end the show. Dallas, you're 3-6. You absolutely suck. Okay, let's just call it like it is. Now what? Now what? What are you going to do? Okay, like you have a home game, nationally televised Monday Night Football. Home game against your interstate rival, the Houston Texans. Okay? It's a winnable game, guys. Are you going to fight? Are you already, you know, my brother talked about the lack of fight, the lack of effort. I can't disagree. There are some players that I see, you know, over Sean and Mike and some of these guys, and there's others. You know, I'm wondering, hey, guys, you know, if you're not going to do it, for the fans, if you're not going to do it for the head coach, if you're not going to do it for the organization, then do it for yourself. Dig deep down in your own heart and say, hey, look, is this the best I've got? Belichick said it perfectly on the Pat McAfee show. I think it was yesterday. He talked about the block field goal and that Kansas City got. And Belichick's like, hey, you know, let me be clear that was not luck. Okay, these guys knew they were going to block that field goal. They practiced that. He said, you know, when I was coaching, he said, I made sure that everybody understood this very simple concept. I don't care what your position is, you give me everything you got and be the best that you can be. On your helmet. When Parcells was the head coach, rookies came in, he took the star off the helmet. He said, you got to earn it. You don't get the star. You got to earn the star. How? I'll let you know. Get out there and work. I love that. I wish they'd go back to something like that. Make these guys earn it. Guys, this is your profession. This is what you do. Don't go out there and be ass. Go out there and be good. Be great. Be better than great. I want to see that Monday night. I want to watch this game, and I want to be proud. And even if we lose, I want to be like, well, damn, what a game. My team fought. You know, okay? You know, the Texans got a walk-off field goal to win the game, sent us a 3-7, our season's over. But, man, my team fought hard. Show me that fight.